Well, Elmore, I lost my voice. I apologize, and I haven't been able to preach for a couple of months here since I gave up my church, and the first time I get an opportunity to preach, I get a sore throat and lose my voice. So I may just cut it a little bit or a lot short this morning, and you come back tonight, and I'll stock up on energy all day today, and then tonight I'll give it a go, and we'll go for a long time. I'm sure most of you probably won't get home this afternoon anyway and enjoy some of this sunshine. But it's good to be here. I'm glad to be here. I want you all to pray for us as we're down there in the boondocks with nobody and nothing. Pray for me. Next Sunday I'll be preaching in South Lebanon, Ohio at a church there. And I don't even remember the name of it, do you? Is it Bible Baptist? I'll say Bible Baptist and hope that's right. But the Lord knows where I'll be next Sunday. And y'all pray for me that the Lord will give us a good service there. Easter Sunday morning, I'm hoping there'll be a lot of visitors and things like that and be able to do some serious soul-winning salvation preaching next week. I enjoy preaching to lost people. That's God's chosen the foolishness of preaching to save those that are lost, and I think a preacher enjoys when he gets to stand before a great number of lost people or even two or three or just one and preach salvation, and it's good. And I apologize for not looking like a preacher. I know I don't look like one. Everybody tells me that when I tell them I am a preacher. I work in a grocery store during the week, and I look more like a grocery boy, I think, than I do a preacher. I took a lady's groceries out for her out of the kindness of my heart a couple of months ago when all the snow was on, and I didn't bother to pick up a coat because I was just messing around in the front of the store there, and I got her groceries out to the car, and she says, "I'll bet your mother will kill me for bringing you out in the snow." And I said, "No, ma'am, my wife and little girl might not like it, but I don't believe my mother would object. So I'm sorry I don't look any older, and I'm just glad that God uses all sizes and shapes and ages, and God can use anybody, and appreciate this brother doing a fine job of leading the singing, and Brother, God respects that, and God will honor that, and He just wants us to give Him what we got. Now, I don't have much, and I want to give Him what I got and be humble about it, and I believe God will honor that, and He has so far, and He's given me things that I never would have dreamed possible, and I'm glad for it. I'm glad for it. I want to preach this morning from Revelation chapter 5. I can think of no more appropriate sermon to preach after speaking on humility this morning than a worthy God. And that's what I want to preach on this morning, is a worthy God. Revelation chapter 5, I want to start reading in verse 1. "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion, the tribe of Judah, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and in the midst of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.' And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.'" Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you this morning for another opportunity to stand and preach again. God, thank you for your word, and thank you for this text, and thank you for a worthy God. Lord, I pray that you'd help me this morning, God. I'm not able to do the job that you've given me to do, but God, thou art able. and you're worthy. And God, I pray that you'd exalt yourself this morning. I pray that you'd bless these hearts of your people. Give us something to rejoice about. Give us something to shout about this afternoon when we realize just what our God really is and how worthy he is of the blessings and praise that we might give him. And God, we thank you once again for an opportunity to be here, be with Brother Greg as he's on his vacation. Bring him back safely, God. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you've ever studied the book of Revelation, look through it, you'll find out that there's something going on in heaven quite extensively all through the book of Revelation. And that is this, praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe probably the only other book that could compare to it would be the Psalms of David. David loved to praise the Lord. He loved to talk about the Lord and sing the songs of the Lord. And I want you to notice here in Revelation that the Bible says this morning that when they're in heaven, they sang a new song. They sang a new song. See, there's a song that's been written that nobody's ever sung yet. And that's kind of exciting to me because I can't wait to find out what it sounds like. I've heard lots of beautiful songs. I love to listen to symphony music, to orchestra music. I've heard a lot of beautiful songs. I listen to the University of Cincinnati Symphony not long ago in concert, and I love to hear that music because it's not a fleshy music that gets you jumping and heebie-jeebying around, and it's not a twang-twang down-home get you crying music. It's a music that's refreshing, that fills the soul and that stirs the spirit and it wakes you up. And I love music like that. That's the only kind of music there really is. I'm not going to preach on music this morning, but I could if I was a mind to. But that music is good. It's hard to listen to at first. That music has to grow on you. You know it. You don't sit down and listen to Beethoven's Fifth Symphony and enjoy it the first time, because the body, it wants something that's, you know, it's going to go. But the more I listen to that music, the more I like it. That's called cultured and refined music, and we as Christians need some more culture and refinement. God knows that. Christians ought to be refined people, and they ought to be humble, though. Don't get me wrong there. I'm not going to go and refute everything I said this morning. Christians ought to be humble. They ought to be refined people, though. They ought to be cultured people. You ought to know some things. You ought to listen to some things that would be good for you. But this morning, I want you to realize this, that there's a song been written. The music's already been produced. The band's tuning up now in heaven, ready to play that music. And there's going to be a new song sung one of these days, and I get excited because I want to hear it. I want to hear it. The songwriter wrote, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise." Did you know that not too far off in the future, when I step into that city, I'll be able to sing with a thousand tongues? See? Amen? If I want to sing with a thousand, I'll sing with a thousand. If I want to sing with 10 million voices, I'll sing with 10 million voices. I'll be able by myself to sing four-part harmony. Now, you imagine that. I have a glorified body. It won't give me any trouble at all. I'll stand up here and open my mouth and you'll hear bass, tenor, alto, and soprano at the same time. And when the songwriter said, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing," I wondered if he had opened up and read in Revelation where someday there'll be a new song sung. A new song sung. I can't wait to hear it, but I know what the words are. I know what the words are. The words are found down there in verse 12. "Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." That's the words. You see, all the songs in heaven are going to be praise to the Lamb. Look there at the end verse in chapter 4 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord." See, all the songs in heaven, everything that's said to him in heaven is, "Thou art worthy." Everything's him there. Everything is him there. Now then, I want to speak to you this morning about the greatest privilege that we have in this life. And that's to praise him on this earth. See? One of these days, I'll be able to praise him like I wanted to praise him. See? Now, every once in a while, I get a notion where I'd like to just cut loose and run. See? Every once in a while, I take a notion I'd like to just cut loose and give it this. I've seen preachers, you know, kick the legs and everything. But that's not me. See? That's not me. I believe everybody has a personality, and God doesn't want you to get out of bounds. Everything's to be done decently and in order, and I could walk the backs of the benches this morning. But that's not me. That's not my personality. But if God tells me to, I'll walk the backs of the benches, so y'all better move over. I'll walk on this side because there's not many people over here. But you see, one of these days, I'll be in an atmosphere where everything is directed to His praise, honor, and glory. And it'll not be hard to shout. It'll not be hard to wave your arms and run. Dr. Ruckman said he's going to run for the first 10,000 years around and around the throne. And he says, every time I come around in front of the throne, I'm going to kick my leg and wave my arms and take off again. See? And it won't be hard when I get to heaven to praise the Lord. It won't be hard. It'll be a joy. It'll be, I mean, can you imagine being with tens, thousands of thousands? Somebody said last week in Florida, said how many people that was, and I can't remember. Some of you mathematicians figure that out. He said, ten thousands of ten thousands and thousands of thousands. Can you imagine being with that many people all praising the Lord? See? I mean, nobody thinking about having to go to work tomorrow morning. Nobody thinking about having to go get groceries this afternoon. Nobody thinking about the roast home burning in the oven. Everybody saying, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy. It'll be easy to praise the Lord then. But you know, we have a great opportunity in this life to praise the Lord in an atmosphere that's not so nice, in an atmosphere that's not so good, in a world that's not so pretty, in a world that's not so beautiful. We have a great, great opportunity to praise the Lord in this life too. And I think that a lot of times we let that go and we forget to look at that. We forget to put the values in the right places. And I think of it so many times, my values are all in the wrong places today. We value a home. We value this. We value that. A new car. A good job. We value all those things. And yet when we think about the small, simple things, humiliation like we talked about this morning, when we think about the small little things like praising the Lord, we forget all about those things. We've let them become bogged down in the mire there, and we've run over them so many times they've nearly disappeared from our Christian lives. But praise is something that's lacking in our lives. We need to have some more praise. I can remember going to church when I was just a little fella, and it was nothing to hear people holler amen. It was nothing to hear people, I mean, just a amen from a deep, burly voice back here somewhere. And I can remember listening to Dr. John Rawlings on WLW when he was on the radio years ago. And I was down in Florida, and I used to listen to him every Sunday night. And I listened to him for one reason. I didn't care what he preached on, but there was an old man there, and he always hollered amen. And I could hear that man across 850 miles all the way down there in Florida hollering amen. And I enjoyed that because I could tell he was enjoying it, see? He loved to praise the Lord. And you know what? One of these days we'll be to a place where we'll be free to praise the Lord. And it'll not be such a great thing then, you know? It'll be great, but it'll not be as great as it could be here on this earth now. What a great thrill it would be to be able to stand today and stand in the midst of all kind of peoples and nations and tongues that didn't love Him and praise Him. Can you see what I'm talking about? Can you see what I'm getting at? What a privilege to be able to stand today among people that don't even care about Him and praise Him, see? Because of all that He's done for me. I want to give you a few reasons this morning why He's worthy. Why He's worthy. I believe He's worthy. I believe He's worthy. The book says He's worthy. The book said He's worthy of all blessings and praise. All blessings and praise. And you remember the last time you quenched the Holy Spirit when God began to stir your soul and you knew you wanted to do something? It breaks out different on different people. Now, I'll give you that. Like I said a while ago, I've seen them take off running. I've seen them jump, kick, wave their leg. I knew a guy at school that you could be up preaching and preaching away and God would get a hold of his heart and tears just roll down his cheeks. He wouldn't move, but tears just flow. I've seen a fellow swing from the rafters one time. I'm saying this. It comes out in different things, different ways, see. But what I'm saying is this, no matter how it comes out, no matter how God leads you to praise Him, you ought to praise Him. I believe things ought to be done decently and in order, okay? But you know, when I saw a fellow swing from the rafter, that was just as decent and in order. I was standing there waiting on somebody to do it. My soul had been so thrilled, my thoughts were so much on heaven, I just knew that somebody had to do something. And when old skinny Dave Riley, he was just standing there. He just kind of jumped up and swung from the rafter. And I was ready for it then. I knew it was going to happen, and I enjoyed it. It just got me going that much more. I went one time. Me and my wife got to church a little bit late, and they were having a fellowship. And we drove up there and parked right at the door. You come out of the back door of the church, we parked right there in front of the door. And got out of the car, and we was closing the car doors, and bang, the back door come open, and there come two guys out, just sailing, all the way around the building, just as hard as they could go. And I told my wife, I said, they're having a good time here. And we went in there, and there was a quartet singing, four men. And those two that come out the back door was the tenor and the bass. And they had left the alto and the lead singer standing there by themselves, see? But what I'm saying is this, we ought to take the opportunity that we have today, we ought to utilize the privilege that is ours today to love God and to worship Him and to praise Him and to give Him everything that's due Him. What's due Him? The Bible says all blessings and praise. All blessings and praise. And if it means I have to take off and run to enjoy my salvation, I'll take off and run. I can enjoy it though, standing right here where I am this morning. I'm enjoying it now. I enjoy preaching. But some reasons why He's worthy. Number one, He's worthy because He's God. Right, now that's simple, but that's a good place to start, is with something simple, and then we'll build on that. He's worthy of all blessing. He's worthy of all praise. He's worthy of everything that we can give Him. He's worthy of us making a fool out of ourselves. He's worthy of us having to be humiliated. He's worthy of us having to go to prison, maybe some of us. He's worthy of us being made fun of. He's worthy of everything that we can give Him, number one, because He's God. Because He's God. You sit down sometime and try to open your mind up and figure what God really is, what He really is. Try to put limits on His power sometimes. You know, I start here, I say, well, now God can do this. Then I try to go out here and find the ending place where there's something God can't do. And my little mind just comes out so twisted and so spinning around in circles, I just have to say, it's beyond me. See, like David said, it's just beyond me. I can't comprehend it. I can't understand how a God can take and put 62 inches of snow on the ground, wind blowing 70 miles an hour, the temperature 55 degrees below zero, and 30 days later have it 50 degrees, snow melting off the ground just nice as it can be. But we take those things for granted, don't we? We just naturally, when we were sitting in our homes last winter, sitting there with snow blowing and drifting all over the place, we were naturally sitting in our homes just thinking, well, Summer's coming, spring's coming. And we never one time sat down and thought, you know, it may not come if God don't want it to come. Right? Do you know there could be 9 foot of snow out there this morning if God willed it? If God would have it that way, it'd be out there. Do you know it could have been 90 degrees last January the 15th if God had willed it? Did you ever stop to imagine how great a God He is? I think we ought to look into nature and see God. Now, I'm not a pantheist. I don't believe God's in the flowers and the flowers is in God, and we ought to love and tiptoe through the tulips. But I believe this. I believe the heavens declare the glory of God. I believe day unto day, night unto night, showed His handiwork. I believe every flower that grows out there has the mark of God upon it. I believe every blade of grass that grows out there asks permission of God to sprout up before it ever comes through the ground. And I believe when we look at that thing, those things, when we see flowers like this and trees and things like that, we ought to say, He's worthy. He's worthy of all praise. Do you know God could have just made it all dirt out there? This planet could have looked like the moon if God had wanted it to. We could have gone out here this morning and walked over there and kicked up the dust and the craters. No beauty, nothing to enjoy. But He didn't do it that way, did He? I can't understand how a flower can come from a little seed you put in the ground and come up like this with the petals sprouting off in different ways and a beautiful flower, and you can take another one and plant it and get a different colored flower, and then you can take another seed and plant it and get a completely different shaped flower. I can't understand that. But I know this, God's the one that does it. God's the one that does it. We need to figure this morning, how big is He? How great a God is He? Is He worthy of all praise? Yes, He is. Why? Because He's God. He says over there in Isaiah, I am God, and besides me there is none else. None else. None else. You say, well, how'd the grass get out there? God put it there. How'd the trees get out there? God put them there. Do you know God knows how many branches are on that tree out there this morning? Do you know God knows how many branches will be on that tree next year? Do you know God knows how many leaves will be on that tree when they begin to come out? God knows how many squirrels live in that tree. God knows how many hickory nuts those squirrels got hid this morning. How great is it? It's a great God. It's a great God. If you've ever been on the ocean, you appreciate God. I love the water. We're going to have to cut in here where the ocean can come in here in Ohio someplace. I love the ocean. I remember the first time I got out of the sight of land on a boat. How many of you ever been out of the sight of land on a boat? That's the weirdest feeling you'll ever have in your life. Now, I mean, it's all right as long as you're out there and you can see the shoreline. But when you get out there and that shoreline disappears and you look here, nothing but water, and there, nothing but water, and all around you nothing but water, you begin to realize how big that ocean is. And you know, I serve a God that could name every living organism that's in that ocean today. I serve a God that could summons every fish to one point in that ocean today. How big a God is He? He's a great God. He's a great God. God's taken and raised up mountains. He's put trees on them. He's taken and He's put the grass out. He's clothed the fields in flowers, even the weeds. Do you know some of the weeds are beautiful? Can't understand that. Can't understand that. I can't understand how a farmer down where we live can go out there and drill his wheat into the ground and put that there in the ground and let it snow on top of it and pile up snow just as cold as it can be. And that snow melt off, and those little sprouts start popping up. And time July gets here, just a golden field of nothing but wheat. That's the one thing that really awed me when I moved down into the country. You'd be driving along, and you see a field of wheat, and you know it has waves in it, just like the ocean. And you look out there, and that wind just ripple that wheat, just lay it over one way, and then back the other. And I serve a God could tell you how many grains was in that entire field. How great is God? He's great. How worthy of all praise is He? He's worthy of everything we can give Him. Why? Because He's God. Because He's God. I'm glad I didn't evolve. I am. Because see, you know you're going back to the ground, right? I'll tell you, this is why they don't want to accept God's plan of creation. Because the Bible says God created man in the dust of the earth, out of the dust of the earth. And they realize they're going back to the dust, and it's hard to accept the fact that I've gone to college for 4 years and gotten a doctor's degree and this and that and worked hard and fiddled with all these test tubes just to go in a circle. That's hard to accept that. Right? College professor can't accept he spent his entire life studying and training to end up where he started out at. But I'm glad God created me from the dust out of the ground. I'm glad God made man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Because I realize that even though I may be on my way to dust again, that same God that created man can take me off that circle and set me over here and make a new creature out of me. Great God. Great God. He's worthy of all praise. You say, is He worthy of me being laughed at? Far more worthy than that. Is he worthy of me going to jail for? Ask Paul about that. Is he worthy of me being stoned for? Ask Paul about that. Do you know some of us sitting here this morning, we wouldn't give up the carpet out of our living room to serve God. You say, oh yeah, we would. You think about it. You think about it. Would you give up the home that you live in to serve God? Would you give up the car that you drive to serve God? Would you give up the job that you have, the money that you make to serve God? Now you search your own soul this morning. I'm asking you, is God worthy? Is He worthy? And before you shout, amen, yes, preacher, that's right, preach on, He's worthy, you search your own heart this morning. I'm not asking you if He's worthy to me. I'm asking you, is He worthy to you? Is He worthy to you? You see, these people standing here that are saying worthy as a lamb, some of them had their heads cut off. Some of them have been burned at the stake. Some of them have been fed to the lions. And we could ask them this morning, is God worthy? Verse 12, worthy is the lamb. Worthy. Why? Because He's God. Because He's God. Number two, He's worthy because He said amen to all the promises of God. The Bible says over there, all the promises of God in Him are yea and amen. That's a simple verse, but when that gets a hold of you, it'll get a hold of you. I hold in my hand a book full of promises. And the Bible says that all the promises of God in Him, Jesus Christ, are yea and amen. In Jesus Christ, every promise in this book has been confirmed, and it's mine. God's given some of them to me. All the promises that God's given to me, Jesus Christ said, amen, so be it. And He's worthy of all praise because of that. I can find a promise to get me through any situation, through any circumstances that I might face. Do you know that? Christian ought not to ever be discouraged. Never. Never. You say, what if this happens? What if that happens? Christian ought not to ever be discouraged. Why? God has given a promise to get you through any hardship, through any trial, through anything that you might have to endure. God has provided you with a promise that will bring you through the darkness into the daylight. Yeah. And Jesus Christ said, so be it. So be it. He said, so be it when He hung upon the cross of Calvary, and He said, it's finished. When Jesus Christ said, it is finished, He said, so be it to all the promises that God's made. He promised over there a home in glory. He said, in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And He said, so be it. So be it. All the promises of God in Him are yea and amen. He said over there, My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. And that promise has got God's stamp of approval on it this morning. Is He worthy of all praise? Is He worthy of all praise? Have you ever sank down so low that God couldn't bring you comfort? Have you ever gone to the place of despondency that God couldn't reach you? I'm sure you have. I'm sure you have. You might think you have. You might think you've been to the place where not even God could reach you. Not even God could comfort you. But I'm sure if you'd opened up your heart and let God, He'd have sent His blessed Holy Spirit to comfort, to succor. He'd have done it. He'd have done it. There's never been a place on this earth where a man could sink that God couldn't reach him. David said, if I make my bed in hell, lo, Thou art there. I know a lot of people have to go through hell on earth. I know that. I know a lot of people have to put up with a lot of things. I know a lot of people have many sorrows. I know a lot of people have many heartaches. I know a lot of people suffer almost continually. But I've never yet seen the man that God could not comfort with the promises that He's given. And all the promises of God in Him are yea and amen. God made the promise and Jesus Christ said amen. Amen. So be it. Is He worthy of all praise today? Yes. Why? Because He okayed all of God's promises. He okayed all of God's promises. All right, number three. He's worthy because He's the provider of all peace and happiness and joy. Those three words right there the world knows nothing of. Peace and happiness and joy. Peace. There's a false peace that the world knows a little bit of. But the way you can distinguish from false peace from true peace is that false peace fades when the circumstances get rough. Happiness. There's a sense of satisfaction that the world has. But you can differ that from Christianity and happiness in the fact that happiness never runs out. I've been so far from God at times that He could have shouted and I wouldn't have heard Him. Backslid. But you know what? I found out that all I had to do was turn around and say, God, I'm sorry, and my happiness came back. It never faded away. It never disappeared. And joy. The Bible says, it calls it joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know what that is? That's joy. That's so much joy that you can't explain it. It cannot be explained. The world finds joy in a bottle, in a needle, in a rock and roll band, in this, that, and the other things. The world finds a false joy. You say, how can you distinguish between the two? Well, when the needle's gone, when the bottle's gone, when the rock and roll music's quit, the joy's gone. But a Christian can open up his Bible and sit down and begin to read the Word of God. And with every verse, that heart beats a little bit louder. And every time you come to something that God gives you certain things. I can read a chapter and read it again next week and God will give me something else. And you know when God's given it to you. Of course,
because you just, it's like that Ford commercial, the light goes on, and you say, well, I didn't know that was there last week, and look, that's good, God gave that to me. And that old heart begins to get thrilled, and you know what? Then I can take that Bible and close it, and that old heart still goes. The joy's still there. The joy's still there. Is God worthy? Yes, He's worthy because He gave something that lasts. Something that lasts. Boy, how much the world would love to have something that would last. Something that would last. You buy a new washing machine, it'll last 5 years, and you might as well trade it in. You buy a new car, and I ain't even got mine paid for, and it needs to be traded in. You buy a new house and move in, and things start falling apart. Oh, how good it would be to have something that lasts. Don't you find yourself saying that all the time? How good it would be to have something that I could depend on that would last, that would remain. And we forget about God and His blessings and His joy and His peace and His happiness. I've got something that lasts this morning. I've got something that doesn't fade away. I've got something that I don't have to go to the shop every 30 days to get repaired. I've got joy. I've got peace. I've got happiness that the world doesn't know anything about. And God gave it to me. And for that reason, He's worthy of anything that I might give Him. He's worthy. That old song said, I gave my life for Thee. What hast Thou given for me? I like that song. I like that song. Is God worthy? Is God worthy? If God called you to go to the mission field, would you go? Would you go? If God called you to go to the mission field without support, would you go? See? If God called you to leave everything and anything and go, would you go? C.T. Studd, missionary to Africa for 13 years, he saw his wife for 2 weeks in 13 years. Would you go? Would you go? The missionary, I can't remember his name right offhand, went to the New Hebrides Islands, got off the boat, got onto the shore, and they killed him. His wife, his family, and everybody that went with him. Didn't even get to open his Bible and talk to anybody about Christ. Would you go? Is God worthy? Does He mean that much to you? He ought to. Why? Because He's given you joy and peace and happiness that'll never fade. Is God worthy? Is God worthy? You say, preacher, I wouldn't give up my standing and make a fool out of myself and cause people to laugh at me and look at me and look down on me. God doesn't mean much to you, does He? I gave my life for Thee. What hast Thou given for me? You know, the whole basic precept of Christian living is giving. It's giving. Now, you think I'm going to go on into money now, don't you? But my mind is far away from money as it can be this morning. God doesn't necessarily want your money. God wants you to give. You say, I don't have anything. What have you got? God wants you to give what you have. God wants you to give what you have. I believe somebody that will go and work in the nursery may be given just exactly what God wants them to do. I believe somebody that will go out here and rake leaves from around the tree may be given just what God wants them to give. I believe somebody will stand out here and pass out two or three tracts on a street corner may be given just exactly what God wants them to give. And the whole basic precept of Christian living is giving. What can I give? God, give me something. I want to give it away. Because He said, if you give it away, I'll give it back to you, pressed down, all shaken together, I'll give anything you give back to Him. Everybody thinks that just means money. We're stingy with our money, and anytime we see the word give, dollar signs light up in our head, and we think, you know. Right? And then sometimes we've got enough money till we just breeze right on by passages like that and say, well, I'll drop 20 in the offering plate. Listen, God wants you to give the thing that means the most to you. Is it money? Is it the status that you have in this life? Is it the prestige that you have around your job? What is it? God wants you to give Him that. He's a stingy God, isn't He? Yeah, but He's worthy. He's worthy. God wants what you prize dearly. God wants that. He's worthy. He's worthy because He's God. He's worthy because all the promises of God have been okayed by Him. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. All right, lastly, he's worthy because he designed the plan of salvation. Did you ever stop to consider the plan of salvation? Did you ever stop and look at it, how simple, how complete it is, nothing lacking? So complete, so full, so free. It'll bless your heart if you sit down and look at the plan of salvation sometime. Because God has designed it and so designed it that nothing is required of you. Do you realize God could have said, all right, I'll die on the cross for your sins and you pay me $5,000, $10,000, $100,000. I mean, what was to keep him from doing that? Nothing. Nothing. God could have said, all right, I'll die on the cross for your sins, but when you have children, you take them and you offer them upon an altar to me. What could have stopped God from doing that? He told old Abraham, said, get your boy and take him up. Kill him. And God would have been just if he had demanded the life of Isaac. God would have been just. And if God had told you today, if you want to go to heaven, you bring your little baby and lay it on the altar and take the knife and plunge that knife through the heart and burn that for a sacrifice to me, God would be just. God would be just. Did you ever stop to think about that? We take it so much for granted. We say, I'm saved. I'm saved. Hallelujah. Did you ever think how great it is that you got saved the way you got saved? By grace. By grace. Through faith. And that's not of yourselves. God gave you the grace. God gave you the faith to get saved. Nothing was required of you. He's worthy. He's worthy because he designed the plan of salvation. He designed it. Do you realize that Bible Christianity is the only form of religion that doesn't try to doctor up mankind? You say, what do you mean, preacher? I mean, you take Buddhism, you take Mohammedism, you take Confucianism, you take any of those things. And you know what they do? They always work on this man right here. Make him better. Give him college education. Put a dollar bill in his pocket. Give him a Cadillac to drive. And watch him. And in 6 months, he's back down on the ground again. Take this man. Give him some kind of shaky experience there where he gets up and he shakes all over the church and passes out there in the floor and foams at the mouth and gets up and tell him he's got to live right. See, doctor him up. Tell him he's got to live right. Tell him he's got to do this. He's got to do that. You must be baptized. You must do this. You must do that. It's all tacking something onto this man right here. Well, what kind of plan of salvation have I got? I told you this morning, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. You see, this is the only form of religion that requires your death. You want to go to heaven? You got to die. You say, what do you mean? I mean that old fleshly, stinking body of sins must die. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He didn't take the old one and wash him up. He didn't take the old one and give him a bath, put a dollar bill in his pocket. He says, we're not going to fool with that. It's too far gone. He says, I'll give you a new creature. New creature. Is God worthy of all praise, honor, and glory this morning? Is God worthy? Is He worthy to you? Is He worthy to you? You say, preacher, I don't know. I don't know. You need to search your own heart this morning. You need to say, God, I think I'm worthy, or God, I don't know if I'm worthy, but God, if I'm not worthy, show me in what area of my life I'm lacking so I can work on that area. I want to be worthy. I want to make you worthy. I want to give you all the praise you're due. I want to be what ought to be, God. God, maybe I'm willing to maybe I'm willing to come and work on the church every Thursday night or whenever we work. But God, maybe I'm not willing to go out on the street corner by myself and pass out tracts. See? God wants what you prize the most. God, maybe I'm just too proud to give a word of testimony there where I work. Maybe just too much pride to tell my neighbor here at the house about Jesus Christ. God wants what you prize the most. I talked to a man the other day that works at Frigidaire, Delco Air, and he said, we have two Bible studies every day. I thought, my goodness. Two Bible studies every day at work. Can you imagine that? How many of us just take time to sit down and pray quietly through the day? Huh? Is God worthy? Is He worthy? Well, if He's worthy, why aren't we giving Him the praise that we ought to be giving Him? Why aren't we giving Him the things that we ought to be giving Him? You see, my whole message this morning has been give, give, give. And the only way as a Christian you're ever going to find what God has for you, you're ever going to find that pure, I believe there's pure, perfect, total satisfaction in this life. You know what? If a man is totally sold out to God, surrendered to God, doing what God wants him to do. You know what? I believe Dwight L. Moody was satisfied with his standing in this world. I believe he was satisfied with everything he got. You know why? He was sold out to God. I believe John Jasper was satisfied to be an old country black preacher. You know why? Because he was sold out, surrendered, and he'd given everything that meant something to him to God. Have you? Have you? Is he worthy? Is he worthy? You'll be in glory one of these days, maybe this afternoon, I don't know. It's 10 minutes to 12 right now. You might be in glory in 10 minutes. You say, well, amen. And that's good, it is. But how sad to look back at a life that we've lived from over on the other side and say, you know, I never one time gave Him what I prized the most. I held it back in a selfish manner and said, no, God, it's mine. I'll not give it up. You can't have it. I want it. And here I stand now in a robe of white, pure and clean, with a healthy body, no more tears. And I look back at that life and I realize I never one time gave when I had the privilege of giving. Give. 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 But see, when you give to God, you don't just give it and lose it away. You don't just give it and never see it again. No man has ever given to God and failed to receive more than what he gave back. Nobody. Nobody. There's not one person here today that can stand and say, preacher, I gave up this for God and God never gave me anything in return. Are you healthy this morning? Talk to Brother Seaborn, his wife. You want to know about sickness? You say, God never gave me anything. Are you healthy this morning? Talk to Sister Joy. It's been in and out of the hospital. Can't even see her baby for 2 and 3 weeks at a time. Newborn child. Can't even come to church because she can't sit. She doesn't feel like she ought to feel. Are you healthy this morning? What's God giving you? You've never given anything to God that He's failed to return to you. You can take an old, dusty, tarnished life, say, God, there's nothing here. But God, I'll surrender myself completely and wholly and fully unto Thee. And God will take your old life. It may be battered and scarred and beaten and banged. And God will take that thing and He'll begin to polish it. And God will take that life and He'll polish it and wax it and shine it up. And when God gets through with you, you've got a brand new lease on life. Seen God take old drunks with bloodshot eyes and deformed faces from the drink and walk stoop-shouldered from dragging. And I've seen God take those men and turn them around. Turn them around. I've seen pictures from Brother Roloff's down there where they get those boys in and some of them come in with the shaggy hair and the beards and they look at you and when they take their picture there, they look at like I could kill you if they just wanted to. And then he'll show a picture of them standing with a Bible in their hand, clean haircut and a suit and tie on. That's what God can do. You say, I don't want to give up what I have to give up. God will give it back to you. God will clean it up and give it back to you. He'll do it. He'll do it. You look at Brother Bill Henderson. I don't know if you've ever heard him preach or not, but you look at him.
Amen.
Set with a pistol to a policeman's head and said, I'll kill him if you come any closer. In jail, just as low as he could go, he's preaching the gospel today, just as strong a preacher as there is. It's what God can do. See, God wants what you prize the most, and God will take that and clean it up and give it back to you and use it for His honor and glory. Is He worthy? Is He worthy? You know, over there they sing, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy, worthy. How worthy is He? How worthy is He? What will you give Him? What will you give Him? I don't ask you to give me anything. I don't care. I don't want anything you've got. God's given me plenty. What will you give God? What will you give God? Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we're thankful this morning that You're worthy. God, we pray this morning that there be some real soul searching, some real heart looking into. God, pray that You'd help us to dig down into that heart and find the thing that's the most dear to us. And God, I pray that today we'd ask ourselves, while holding that highly treasured possession in our hands, I pray that we'd ask You, are You worthy, God? And hear the answer echo back from heaven, worthy is the Lamb. And I pray this morning that there'd be some souls here that would take the thing that means the most to them and lay it at the feet of Jesus this morning and say, God, I'll give it because You're worthy. Because You're worthy. God, I pray that maybe if there's some here that are not in the fellowship that they ought to be with Thee. God, some here that may be backslidden, maybe afar off, Lord, that You'd restore such a one. God, You'd take them and convict them, Lord, that Christians ought not to live the way that they're living. And God, strengthen them, helping them to live the life that they ought to live. God, I pray this morning that if there's one that's here that's not a Christian, that God, You'd help them to see that God has done everything possible to ensure that they don't die and go to hell. That the only thing that would send a man to hell is his rejection of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that if there's one here that's not lost, You'll convict them to the point that they can't even sleep. God, to the point that they can't even stand without trembling. And God, I pray they'd fall on their knees and ask for forgiveness and mercy. And God, I pray You'd fill that life and take that soul and clean it up so much that, God, there'd be such a noticeable change on the outside that friends and neighbors alike would say there's something happened to him or something happened to her. God, bless us now as we sing a verse of invitation. And God, pray that Christians would see Thee and say, He's worthy, and I'm going to straighten things out in my life today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother, let's sing. Just one verse. One verse of invitation. It's 3 minutes till 12 right now. I'll have you out by 12 o'clock. We're only going to sing one verse. And Christian, if you're there, you say, I'll come if you give a second verse. No, not today. If God is worthy and you need to pray, you come on the first verse. You can kneel here along this first row and pour your heart out to God. And I'll personally guarantee nobody will disturb you. If you say, preacher, I've got something I need to give God, you come and you kneel here this morning. You say, preacher, give me two verses so I can get myself ready. No, you come the first verse because there'll only be one. You say, why only one? Why not two or three? God may come back. Jesus may come back soon. And the sooner we get our lives and hearts straightened out, the sooner He can use us. Just one verse, brother.
Number 310. 310. All to Jesus I surrender.
That's all we have for this morning. We'll come back tomorrow.